So last week, our faith exploration groups, we have two happening right now, an adult faith exploration group and a youth faith exploration group. And the topic that both groups were talking about was related to values. Values, ethics, how our beliefs impact our day-to-day actions. And both groups had very good, although of course different, conversations about where our values come from, and then how they inform what we do and how we live. So I thought we might start today by thinking a little bit about the scripture reading we heard and the anthem that we heard. What kinds of values are being emphasized in what we've heard so far this morning? And you've got the scripture reading written down in the bulletin and Bibles in the pews if you need to reread it, if you don't remember what you heard. So what do we think? What did we hear as values or day-to-day practices?
Sharing.
Giving, mm-hmm. Giving to others. Mm-hmm.
Selflessness.
Right? Not putting yourself first. Mm-hmm. We can keep going. There's more. I'm figuring the choir will answer some about the anthem because you've got the words right in front of you. All the rest of us have to remember it. Community, good. That's an important one.
Other?
Helping each other and walking together, traveling together. That came up in the anthem as well.
Lightly on things.
Trotting lightly on things. Yes, let's bring in the children's time as well. Good. Yeah. Being gentle with creation and with each other.
Love.
Love? Right. And when I was thinking about this passage that we were hearing today, I was thinking about how this early Christian community is sharing all their things in common. And so it's about community and it's about sharing, but it's also about what's not the case, which is any kind of notion of who deserves it, right? So sometimes our values are about what our values aren't. It's not about a notion of deserving or being good enough, trying to live out that idea of God's love reaching everyone. So this is the part where we start the activity for today's sermon. And you might just do this in your thoughts, or if you're like me and don't remember anything, you might see if you can track down a pencil or a pen somewhere in your pew or your bag and write it down. But take a moment to think about what's of value for you that you would like to be living into more fully, or that you think is important, but you're not yet sure how you're living it in your day-to-day life. So you can take a moment. What's a value that you want to live into more fully, or that you think is important, but you're not sure yet how you live into it in your day-to-day life? You can hold it there. You can write it down. That's what I'd be doing if I were you, because I don't remember anything. So, while I was living in Vancouver, I went there for my graduate degree. And I hadn't been going to church that much for a little while beforehand, which is fairly common. You know, sleeping in on Sunday mornings has a lot of appeal, especially when you're a student. But I felt like something was missing. And I thought about it and I thought, I think what it is having a church community. Because that had been something that had been part of my life growing up and during most of my undergraduate degree. And so I told my boyfriend at the time, I'd like to go to church. And so we tried visiting some different churches to see if we could find a place that we both wanted to return to. And one of the churches that we visited, it was a beautiful building. Sort of a long, thin building, a little bit like this might be if you didn't have our transepts on each side. And we sort of came in and sat near the back. And looking around, everyone else had gray hair. Which, I mean, that was okay. I didn't have a problem with people with gray hair. But you did feel a little bit like you stood out when you were the only people who did it and it was your first time there. And the sermon was excellent. I don't remember what all of it was about, but I remember the story that the minister told. And he told a story that was about some theologian, don't remember who, living, you know, a few hundred years ago. And the story goes basically like this. When he started out, he had a very small income. It was 30 pounds a week or a month, one or the other. So let's just say it's a week for convenience sake. 30 pounds a week, and he needed 28 pounds a week to live. So he was able to give 2 pounds a week to the church. And that's what he did. And then eventually, he got a better position. And he was no longer earning 30 pounds a week, he was earning 40 pounds a week. And so what he did was he knew he needed 28 pounds a week to live the simple life that he'd been living. So he lived on 28 pounds a week, and he gave 12 pounds a week to the church. And then he got a better position, and he was earning even more. And yet, his value of simplicity and of giving was such that he continued to live the life he could on 28 pounds a week and give all the rest away. As I said, I haven't forgotten that story. What an incredible story of simplicity, of generosity, of trying to live that vision, just like those early disciples, not taking any more than they needed, so that others might have as well. And then we got to the announcements, and the announcements were about the Men's Bridge Club and the seniors that went on fun outings together. Well, I don't know what I would do here, because I don't play bridge and I'm not a senior. But also, as you thought about it more, you wondered, what did the sermon have to do with the day-to-day life of the community? How did they relate to it? How was their faith lived out beyond just the idea of enjoying each other's company? It got worse at the point when, after the service, the minister asked us if we were getting married, because any young people that showed up in the church obviously were looking for somewhere to get married. So I would suggest, if you meet someone new, that not be the question you ask. Yes, just in case that had crossed your mind. Needless to say, we didn't end up going back to that congregation, and we did find another congregation that also had a lot of seniors, but had a different vision of how to connect with one another and more actively tried to live out their values in their worship space, in their worship experience, and their practices as a congregation. Now, sometime later, while I was in Vancouver, one of my colleagues was preparing to move for a PhD program to another, and I ran into him in the street, and he was telling me about this, and he was saying, oh, I should mention for any of you that don't know, I was in English. So we had lots of books. And he was saying, I don't know what to do with all my books. I can't take them all with me. And I said, well, my church is having a book sale, so you could donate them there, and we could sell them. And he said, you go to church? I had no idea. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? Because here, he's known me for a couple of years, we've had classes together, we've had conversations, and yet it's never come up that I'm Christian, that I go to church, so this is an important part of my life. And that gave me pause. Because that was also at about the same time that I was starting to feel called towards ministry. How could I feel called towards ministry if people who knew me didn't even realize that I considered myself a Christian or that I went to church? What is a question that just doesn't just face ministers, it faces all of us? How willing are we to share what we do on a Sunday morning, the events that we go to, and why that matters to us? So that brings us back to the question of what's that value that you want to live into more fully? Or what's that value that's important and yet you don't know how you live out in your day-to-day life? In our faith exploration groups, at least in the adult one, we talked about the possibility of thinking about why our values matter. Do we just say, this is a value that I have, and leave it there? Or do we say, this is a value that I have, and I want to be able to tell people why this is important? And I want that to be something more than because my parents told me it was important, but something that I have learned to articulate for myself. So there might be instances for us, as people who go to church, where we learn to develop a language of faith to talk about why these values matter, to give some depth and some richness and some meaning behind it, so that we can speak honestly about its importance. Not saying that it has to be important for everyone else, but speaking more truly about why it matters to us. So what's that value that's on your list? And take a moment and think about if you met a friend on the street and ran into them and said, this is important to me, would they say, I never knew that? Or would they say, of course, I've known that all along. What do you want to do day to day in the words you speak and the actions that you take to live into that value more fully? Take a moment, reflect, find your piece of paper, write down your commitment. Might be one thing, it might be a couple, a one-time action, or something that you want to become a daily practice. As I hope my stories have suggested, this is an individual practice, a matter of personal reflection and commitment, but it's also a community practice. A practice about how we together live out what we think matters. Spend our time and our energy and speak the language that we think reflects who we want to be, who we are called by God, who are called by the sacred to be. And so what we do in this space matters, and what we do outside these walls matter. And it matters that we do things like sing together. I've talked about that before. And it matters that we do things like pray together. Even if we think that the efficacy of prayer has nothing to do beyond us expressing the importance of other people. And it matters that we do things to care for creation together. And to hear stories together. So in these personal commitments, and in our work as a community, may we experience those moments of transformation and possibility, just like those early followers of Jesus who allowed the good news they heard to transform the way they lived and related to one another, because that good news is a promise of God's love, God's unending presence, which continues on, which gives us strength, and which presents us with the challenge of working towards a vision of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.